morning on city life and whether or not you are suited for city life. I sort of began with somewhat with an illustration of a company that tried to get me to go to work for them in New York City as a financial advisor, and I knew that there's no need in me even attempting that when they started talking about 2.5 years at least before I could get out of the Big Apple, because I'm not suited for city life. And so also there are many that have got the opportunity to go to heaven. They got an opportunity to go to that new city, that city of New Jerusalem, but they're just not suited for city life. Going to have to get right with God. It's a prepared place for a prepared people. All right, we're reading from Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 16. After all that screaming and hollering I did at Brother Charles yesterday at work, and then this morning I'm just about out of voice. You pray for us. Hebrews 11, 16. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He hath prepared for them a city. You can be seated. Thank you for standing with us while I read the word of the Lord. As I said this morning, it's interesting that they said in that verse that they desired a better country and He prepared for them a city. Isn't that interesting? And so, my friend, it is prepared for us, a prepared place for a prepared people. And, of course, we said this morning, could have listed a lot of titles on this. Are you suited for city life? Maybe we could say city life if you'll have it. Country boy headed for the city. And even thought about preaching on moving on up. And there's a lot of things that you can tie to what we're talking about. But primarily, I'm just talking about that place, that city that is prepared for the people of God. This morning, we never got past the first point. We made it through there and stopped. But preached about the citizens of that city. How that the citizens of that city are blood washed. How they are blood redeemed. How they are overcomers and they're on a roll. And so I want to pick up right where we left off and try to work on this a little more. And maybe we'll finish it up tonight if the Lord will let us in this evening's meeting. We're preaching about city life. And we talked about, again, the citizens of that city. Now I want to talk about tonight the conduct of that city. The conduct of that city. I'm saying, friend, what will go on in heaven? What is it people are doing there? I mean, one of the greatest mysteries and one of the greatest, my friend, questions that people ask when they talk about heaven is, what exactly are folks doing when they're over in heaven? Well, I want to submit to you, according to the word of the Lord, in heaven, there what goes on there, my friend, will simply be a perfect form of what goes on right here among the people of the Lord. In heaven, it'll not be that we're doing a lot of new things, but that the things we'll be doing will be exactly right. Let me illustrate that by saying a few things that's going to go on in heaven that ought to be going on right here, and it'll just be perfected when we get over there. I'll say, friend, according to the word of the Lord, when we get to heaven, there'll be a whole lot of worship going on. Amen? A whole lot of worship going on. Revelation 4 and 10, 5 and 14, 7 and 11, 11, 16 and 19 and 4 all teach us that everybody and everything there worships the Lord who sits on the throne. I mean, time and again in John's visions, in the book of Revelation of that new city, he sees people who are actively at work worshiping the Lord. He sees the vision of the beast. He sees the vision of the multitude. He sees time and again the crowds that stand before the throne of God to sing hallelujah and to worshiping His name. Glory be to His name. I mean, time and time again. Matter of fact, that worship becomes so serious to them that in chapter 21 we read this morning, it said that the tabernacle of God is with men. In other words, He has so inhabited their worship that they're totally worshiping the sense and atmosphere of worship has totally engulfed them. I mean, now and again, we get a little dosed of it. I mean, the people of God go to worshiping and the things of God go to moving among us. The Spirit of God goes to touching folks. They use this a little dab here and a little dab there. And this one gets in and that one gets in. And two or three's on fire and everybody else is watching the show. Isn't that usually the way it is? Now, we might as well admit to it. And most every one of us has been one of the ones watching the show from time to time.
And we're thankful to see somebody get in. We're glad to see it when somebody else gets happy. I mean, Brother Matthew get happy. Brother John, he'll sit over and amen him and ag him on. But a lot of times, Brother John ain't getting happy with him. I mean, he's just enjoying seeing Brother Matthew get in. And sometimes it works the other way. But my friend, what's going on in heaven is worship, and it's perfected over there. I mean, Brother Jeff, it ain't just one or the other getting in, one getting happy and another watching what's happening. But everybody's getting into it over there. I mean, my friend, when it came a time that John saw the vision of the beast and of the 24, my friend, the elders, and also, my friend, the men of the Old Testament and the New, he saw them as they began to all bow down and worship the Lord. Out of the multitude, they all sang a song. We come together and some gets in the choir and sings. Some of them sits and listen. We begin to sing congregational hymns. And inevitably, everybody's supposed to be singing. But there'll be somebody sitting around, amen, without a leg broke and without a 16-pound screaming baby. And there'll be somebody that's just lazy. And then my friend, apathetic about their worship. And they'll be sitting around the pew, picking their fingernails, or looking off in the ceiling, or they'll stand up and put their hands in their pockets and just look around. My goodness, we're not expecting you to put on a performance, but y'all sing and worship with the rest of us. But in heaven, my friend, everybody's in on it. Amen. Everybody's worshiping. Everybody's glorifying God. Matter of fact, I'd say if you don't enjoy worship, chances are you're not going to be very happy there. You're not suited for city life if you don't enjoy worship. Amen. Because there's going to be a whole lot of that going on when we get over there. Amen, that's right. And it'll be perfected. It'll be perfected. You know, Brother John, it's always frustrated me getting to meet, and we've been in revival right here. In revival meeting, boy, God moving. The power of God moving among us. And some well-meaning, well-intentioned person trying to be a blessing that wouldn't know the Holy Ghost in a 40-acre field with a name tag on just kill the whole thing. Stand up and ramble on about nothing, pretending to testify, and they don't mean nothing ugly about it. Just don't know any better. A lot of times folks visiting, trying to be a blessing to us. But the worship just out of order. I've had them come, they want to sing a song and be a help and a blessing. Had one stand right there and sing, go rest high on that mountain. You couldn't have found a wetter blanket to throw on the meat than that. I mean, want to stand up thinking you're doing something good and try to sing a country song. One night I was up, I was preaching a revival, a meeting up in Cedar Town, and an old boy got up and going to sing a special. And he sung The Long Black Train. Nearly made me sick in my stomach. He wasn't trying to kill the meeting, but his worship just was not perfected. It was just carnal enough that he couldn't understand what he was singing about. By the way, I still ain't figured out what that means either. Amen, that's right. I didn't know this. It scared me to death from getting on trains. Amen. I want to tell you some friend. I want to tell you, hey, but when we get to heaven, everybody will be right in order. Everybody will be worshiping just right. Every testimony will be in place. Every song will be just right. Everything will be just like it's supposed to be.
They're doing in heaven much the same stuff that they're doing down here if you're right with the Lord. But it's perfected over there. Worship's going on. I want to say heaven's a place of worship. It's a place of worship. The conduct of that city we're preaching about. What are they doing? Why, my goodness, there's a lot of worship going on. I want to say there's a lot of praise going on. By the way, they say praise and worship all the time down here. Don't you hear that all the time?
Yeah.
Oh, praise and worship. You got praise teams and praise and worship leaders. Used to, they called them. They used to call them when I was a boy, song chairman. You, Miss Selma remembers terms like that. Song chairman. And then they got to call them choir leaders. And then they got real fancy and called them ministers of music. And now they call them worship leaders. Amen. I'm going to tell you something, friend. One of these days the Lord's going to conduct the chorus. And by the way, while it's going on here, He's supposed to be the worship leader now too. Amen. He's the one that directs the worship. He's the one that directs the worship service. Praise, my friend. And worship is a whole lot more than a genre of music where they say the same thing over and over and over and over and over again. Amen. That's right. I mean, it comes from down deep inside of you where your heart brings honor and glory unto God as you adore Him and the beauty of holiness. Amen. That's right. Verse number 9, chapter 19 in verse 5 of Revelation said, and a voice came out of the throne saying, praise our God, all you servants and you that fear Him, both small and great. Amen. There'll be a nobody a-patting themselves on the back when we get to heaven. Everybody will be a-praising God. That's right. Praise and worship's a-going on. That's the conduct of that city. Well, I want to say, if when we get to heaven, there's going to be a lot of singing going on. According to the Word of God, be a lot of singing going on. You say, preacher, I just don't like that singing so much. You're going to have a hard time when you get there then. Because there's going to be a lot of singing going on. Now, hey, I know a lot of preachers, good men, good Bible preachers, that just don't care much for singing. And listen, I know a song, a singing church can hijack the service and get to the place where you don't have no preaching, and I know that. But my Lord, we need some spiritual, scriptural balance about a thing. And I like singing. Amen. Matter of fact, hey, I know when we get to heaven, we're going to sing. I wrote Revelation 5 and 9, 14, 3 and 15, 3, all say that they sang a new song, and it was a song about redemption. Well, I like singing them songs about redemption while we're here. You know, songs like Jesus Paid It All, songs like There's a Fountain Filled with Blood, songs like It's Still the Blood, and It Washes Away Our Sins. I'm telling you, I like those old songs about redemption. Amen. Well, I want to say, friend, I like them old songs about heaven. I'm not there yet, but I sure am enjoying and singing about it while I'm on the way. You know, songs like page 298, What a Happy Time. A song like 393, When We All Get to Heaven. A song like page 50, And the Sweet Forever. Songs about my journey on the way to heaven. Like 286, The Glory Land Way. Songs like page 10, A Meeting in the Air. 110, Heaven's Jubilee. 105, How beautiful heaven must be. Page 409. Farther along, we'll know all about it. I like page 180. Everybody will be happy over there. I'm going to tell you, I'm enjoying singing about heaven while I'm on my way to heaven. And when we get there, we're still going to be singing. While we sing down here, though, sometimes we mix up the words. Sometimes we miss the notes. Sometimes we get off the beats. Well, but everything going on there is perfect. Every song will be right on key. Every part will be just right. The harmony will be exquisite. Nobody's voice will crack. The song will be absolutely scriptural. I mean, everything will be right when we get to that city. Hallelujah for the singing that's going on over there. What about that? Hallelujah. Amen. The conduct of that city. What are they doing over there? They're worshiping, they're praising, they're singing. I don't say what's going on over there. There's a lot of shouting going on over there. Amen. Well, preacher, I just don't much like that. Maybe you're not real suited for city life. Amen. Hey. Oh, yes. There's a lot of shouting going on over there. 12 times you read the phrase loud voice or loud voices in the book of Revelation. I mean, friend, hey, this is the quietest place you're ever going to live. If you go to hell, they'll be screaming and weeping and gnashing of teeth. That's right. And if you go to heaven, there's going to be rejoicing and praising God and shouting and glorifying God. This is just the quietest place you're ever going to be. And by the way, when you leave this life, heaven or hell's your only choices. There is no third option. And you sure ain't staying here. So you better get prepared for city life. By the way, I never have met a person that I had confidence in their salvation that didn't like to see folks get happy and sound. Amen. Maybe they shouted or maybe they didn't, but they sure didn't like to see somebody get happy and sound. I like it too, thank God. Matter of fact, I've had some tell me, preacher, now I just shout inwardly. One fellow said, I just shout silently. Now, who in the world ever heard of such a thing? A silent sound. That's kind of like a backward forward, isn't it? I mean, it's impossible. If it's silent, it ain't a shout. And if it's a shout, it ain't silent. Hey! Well, I'm telling you, you ought to get to the place now and again where you just fall apart and weep and rejoice and shout it out. Amen. By the way, some of you never have. If you ever did, you would again. Amen. Woo! That's right. Thank God. Somebody said, preacher, when I get to heaven, I'm going to shout. I'm going to tell you, I'm practicing up while I'm yet here. Amen. That's what's going to happen when we get to that city. There'll be a plenty of shouting over there. Amen. Well. I'm going to practice up. I'm going to shout up while I'm still living in this strange country. And I'm shouting over that city that I'm heading to. Amen. Have not yet seen it come to pass, but it'll become a reality in the real near future. And it's nearer today than what it ever has been. The conduct of that city, the citizens of that city. Now we're going to talk to you about the controls of that city. This is the part that most folks see that makes them not suited for city life. Most people want a place where there ain't no controls, see. Where there's not any, no morality, no rights and wrongs, no ups and downs. Now I'm going to tell you, heaven ain't got no rights and wrongs. All it's got's rights. Because there ain't no wrongs over there. Amen. Everything that's right goes on and anything that's wrong don't. Amen. They'll enter into it nothing that defileth. Nothing, my friend, that's full of covetousness or, my friend, idolatry. Nothing that maketh a lie. Amen. Everything that enters into it. Listen, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. That's right. You're going to have something more to you than just this thing you're living in. If you're going to get to heaven, there's going to have to be a liver inside of you. Amen, that's right. That's my friend, that's perfect and pure and right and righteous. Because this flesh is at enmity with God. You better have more than just the works of your hands. Nothing of myself I bring. Simply to His cross I cling. Amen, that's right. The hymnal said, thank God I need no other argument. I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died and that He died for me. That's the only hope you've got, because in that city, flesh and blood will not inherit. No sin will get in. Everything there will be right, and there'll be no wrongs. Amen. No sin, no devil, no flesh. Amen. That's right. The controls of that city. Sonia sang that song a while ago, I'm home. That one phrase said, there'll be no sin there in that place, for all of them are saved by grace. One of them said, the one phrase in that song said, there'll be no night in that city. And that's right. But listen to what the Bible says about night. It said that we're not the children of the night, but the children of the day. We're not children of darkness, but children of light. That men hated darkness and love, or hated light and loved darkness because their deeds are evil. Now that's what your Bible says. And listen to this, friend. We're not the children of the darkness, but we're the children of light. Not the children of the night, but the children of the day. If a man be drunken, they be drunken in the night. And adultery, he said, transpires in the night. And lasciviousness is manifested in the night. Amen. You've heard the phrase over and over again, especially as it pertains to the big cities, nightlife. You've heard that talked about. They're not talking about the tree frogs. And my friend, the crickets that come out at night out there on Taylor Circle where I live. They're talking about the city life. They're talking about the big lights and the bright lights and the neon signs. They're talking about the liquor drinking and the corrals and an adultery. They're talking about drugs and the underworld of crime. That's what they're talking about when they're talking about the nightlife. I want to tell you something about heaven and the controls of that city. The light stays on there all the time. And they don't have a nightlife yonder in that city. Amen. That's exactly right. The light of the Lord shines upon men at all times. Hey, but that don't bother the residents of that city because they don't have a desire after those kind of things. They're thankful to be delivered from a dark world full of sin and flesh and the devil. Amen.
No nightlife over there, for it's always day. Revelation 21:23 said, and the city had no need of the sun, nor neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. Revelation 22:5 said, and there shall be no night there, and they shall need no candle, and neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. There's no nightlife when you get over there. You need the bright lights and the big city and the bars and the booze. You're not suited for city life. Not this city I'm talking about. Because there ain't no nightlife over there. Amen. No nightlife. The controls of that city. They have no need for curfews over there. Because it ain't going to get dark no hell. Hallelujah. The controls of that city. Did you know that heaven, in my friend, this heavenly city is a city with absolutely no crime. And they do that without one single jailhouse or one police car. My friend, or one deputy sheriff. It's a city with absolutely no crime. And yet they have no law enforcement. Hey! You know why? Because no sin entered in there. They didn't need any law enforcement here till sin entered in. Sin's a cause for that. But over there, my friend, there'll be no cause for it. No nightlife controls that city. I want to say when we get over there, there'll be no more world or worldliness. World, I'm not talking about the earth. I'm not talking about the ground we're standing on. I'm talking about the world systems, what I'm talking about. Amen. That's right. Isn't that what the Word of God said? 1 John 2:16-17. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but it is of the world. And the world passeth away and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. This world will pass away, the lust of this world will pass away, the sin of this world will pass away, the system of this world will pass away. Oh, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Along, my friend, when thereafter this devil is bound and cast into hell and the lake of fire he'll be consumed forever. Hey, long after that's gone, long after this mortal, corrupt body's put on immortality, incorruption, and a glorified body of those that do the will of God is going to abide forever. Bless His name. And there'll be no more world system in that day. The world system is corrupt. I don't know if you understand that or not. I'm talking about the world system, the government, the system of society. It's corrupt. It's corrupt. It's perverse. That's right. Amen. Well, I get real involved right here.
I'd get real involved right here. The scripture does say that power, or the old saying is that power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. And that's nearly about right. Amen. Men of influence and power that have aligned to their own pockets for greed and the sake, my friend, the love of money becoming the root of all evil. Amen, that's right. And then, my friend, in churches, even in this world, of men who have preached for filthy lucre's sake and have told lies and fables and preached doctrines of devils for the sake of lining their own pockets. Amen, that's right. Of men who will tell people what they want to hear, when they want to hear it, and how they want to hear it for the sake of filling up their own bank accounts. And they're not concerned about your soul, and not concerned about your family, and not concerned about your children. I want to tell you, this world system is corrupt. It's worldly, sensual, and the devilish. Amen. But there's a coming a place in time when Jesus shall reign. Hey, absolutely. And eternally. Somebody said he's already reigning. No, he's not. He's already got the power to reign, but he's given leeway to the prince of the world, the prince of the power of the air, and the devil's actively at work in this world, and evil men, the hearts of men are waxing worse and worse, and we're living in a fallen away, and it's corrupt and it's wicked and ungodly. But one day he'll reign, and reign absolutely, and reign eternally, and his government will be on his shoulder. He'll rule by the rule of the cross, and it'll be forever, friend. Is that not what it's said in Isaiah? He shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Almighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Amen. Isaiah said that day the government would be upon his shoulder. What was it on the shoulder of Jesus at the cross of Calvary? It was a cross he carried up that old hill, wasn't it? You know how the Lord's going to govern? He'll not govern by opinion polls, and he'll not govern by what the Democrats and Republicans have to say about it. He'll not govern based on what the news media will think, but he'll govern by the cross. You'll either accept the cross or you'll be judged. You'll accept the cross or you'll go to hell. You'll accept the cross or you'll never be suited for city life. He'll judge by the cross. The world's wicked and corrupted by the stench of sin, but there's a coming a day where all sin and the world presses will be no more. Amen. Well, we talked about the citizens, the conduct, and the controls of that city. Let me close out this evening talking about the clothing of that city. The clothing of that city. I don't know how many questions I've had people ask me over the years. What will we dress like when we get over there? What are we going to wear when we get there? I've had folks ask me, what does it mean when it says they'll give you a white robe? What does it mean? I heard one preacher conjecture one time that there wouldn't be no clothes in heaven. Why, that's the most foolish thing I ever heard of in my life. I mean, that's crazy. What in the world happened to that white robe that the Bible said is going to give us? I mean, I literally heard him preach that from the pulpit. I'm going to tell you something. We're going to wear clothes when we get to that city. I know there won't be any lust there. I know that people won't have the capacity after that kind of thing. But, brother, according to the scriptures, we're going to wear clothes when we get to heaven. Amen. By the way, that'd be such a blessing if folks would practice up while that's here, wouldn't it? Amen. That's exactly right. I mean, won't you be glad for a day when folks are all dressed and clothed and covered? Amen. I mean, where the men will look like men and women like women without immodesty and short skirts and short dresses and tight garments that expose the flesh? What a place it'll be where folks wear clothes. It's becoming a bit of a rarity in this part of the world for folks to wear clothes. Amen. My granddaddy used to say when I was just a boy, he'd say there'd come a day when folks would be so immodest that they walk down the sidewalk with nothing on but their billfold in their hand. That's what he said when I was born. We're almost there. We are almost there, friend. And I'm telling you, hey, and they tell me, now I don't know how in the world it could be, but they tell me that it's worse in other parts of the world than what it is where we live. That folks just near about go completely naked everywhere that they go. That's the craziest stuff I've ever seen. Amen. What's amazing, you go down to the restaurant down in Walmart or something, or you see the sign on the door that says no shirt, no shoes, no service. It's getting so that the average church, you've got about to put one of them signs up. Amen. Because folks will come to church just about dressed in here way anymore too. But there's a coming a day, and there's coming a place, and there's coming a city where everything's going to be clothed just right. Amen.
When John saw the Lord in Revelation chapter 1, he was clothed with a garment down to the foot. Amen. When he saw them wearing robes, the Bible said they were long white robes. What about that? You suited for city life? If you love going naked down here, chances are you ain't going to enjoy that up there. You suited for city life? I thought you were going to preach on heaven this morning tonight, preacher, and you just keep hitting all this stuff. Well, all I'm doing is telling you what's up there. And then my friend, what it's going to be like, and explain to you that if you don't get with the programs, hey, you may not be suited for it. Right, right. Oh, you don't go to heaven because you dress right, but you dress right because you're on your way.
Right. Amen.
Amen. Amen. That's right. Thank God. I know ain't nobody preaching this stuff no more but me. But I'll keep preaching till the trees are gone, till the houses are without inhabitants, till there ain't nobody else left to preach to. I'm going to keep preaching. Amen.
Yes, sir. Right.
They'll be robed in white garments, decked in wedding garments. Notice how interested the Lord is in folks getting married. Amen.
Right.
It's not the same thing just to be together. I don't know what that even supposed to mean. But I hear folks say, well, we've been together for 23 years. I don't want to been together. I don't know what that even means. Are you married or you're not married? If you're not, you're in adultery living like that. But when that place, we'll be dressed in wedding garments. The Lord's interested in marriage, isn't he? Marriage is honorable and all, and the bed's undefiled, and whoremongers and adulterers shall be judged. Now, that's what the Bible says. Amen. Revelation chapter 19 and verse 8 tells us that these wedding garments will be provided by a groom. Revelation 19, 8, to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen. Talking about the church now, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. It was not a garment that she earned. It was not a garment that she bought. It was not a garment that she acquired. It was one that was granted unto her. May I say, friend, if you're going to make it into heaven and wear the white robe of the righteousness of God, it's going to have to be one provided for you by the Lord. It'll not be one you earn. It'll not be one you buy. It'll not be one you acquire. It'll not be one, my friend, that you work for. It'll have to come because Jesus provided it. The only way where he's going is through him, Thomas. He said to Thomas, whither I go, you know, and the way you know. But he said, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? But Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. It's a provided garment, not saved in my own efforts. Amen. But Jesus gave me this new coat I now wear. And the best thing that I ever did do was when I took off the old coat and I put on the new. Amen. That's right. Amen. The clothing of that city. And notice what this clothing that's granted to him is. It is the righteousness of the saints. I'm glad when we get there. Now hear me, friend. The devil is called the accuser of the brethren. When we get there, we're going to stand before the Lord in judgment. One of these days, everybody going to stand before the Lord and give an account of the deeds done in this body, whether they be good or evil. You know what's going to happen? The devil's going to rail railing accusation against us. He's going to say, look at what Brother Matthew did. Look at what he did here. Look at what he did there. Look at how they didn't do right here and how he didn't do right there. Look at how he did wrong here and there. And he's going to be enumerating our rights and wrongs, one right after the other after the other. Oh, and if we was left to stand on our own two legs, all we could do was plead guilty before the Lord. Amen. That's right. Oh, but then Jesus is our advocate. Amen. That means he's an attorney. He's a mediator. He's a go-between. He pleads our case. The devil is our accuser. But the Lord Jesus is our advocate. When the devil gets done making all kinds of accusation, he tells all of heaven how sorry Miss Tracy is. Then the Lord Jesus stands up and said, hey, you remember back at Calvary? Hey, you remember back at Calvary?
He won't deny what we've done because we know it's all true. And by the way, I've already pled guilty for it. Amen. But He'll say, remember back at Calvary, there's bloodshed. I presented it before you, Lord. Hey, and paid the price. I'm going to plead her case. She don't want to get in heaven on her account. She's coming in on my account. Woo! Well, thank God. A robe of righteousness will not be our doings. It'll be because Jesus provided it for us. He'll plead our case. And the Lord will declare us not guilty. Not because we're not guilty, but because His Son's not guilty. And righteousness has been imputed unto us by faith. Amen. Not by works. By faith. Lord ain't giving you no attaboy buttons because you've been doing so good and all. Amen. That's exactly right. Oh, but heaven, my friend, can be your home. A robe of righteousness you can wear by faith because you trusted in Jesus. By faith, by faith. Thank God for the night that I pleaded guilty. Ahead of time, not waiting for judgment. Cast myself on the mercy of God's court. And Jesus said, I'll take the case. Hallelujah. And He hadn't lost one yet. Amen. He said, I'll take the case. And He became my advocate. And He took on Him my sins. And bore them in His own body on the tree. And I trusted Him as my all-sufficient and only hope. And now I've got a promise of tomorrow. I've got a hope for the future. I've got a title deed to eternity. I've got a robe of righteousness. I'm getting prepared for city life. And He's going to plead my case. And I'll make it in by the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah. And they ask me how I made it. Quickly I'll say it. By the blood of the Lamb, I made it through. Hallelujah. That makes me want to take a run to Goobertown, Arkansas and back. Thank God. After working 11 o'clock last night, I don't think I'd make it Tallapoosa and back, though. Amen. That's right. Boy, I'm glad there's a place. There's a place where everything's just right. But I'm afraid a lot of folks who claims to be Christians just wouldn't like a place like this. They say they want to go to heaven. But they don't seem to want to go to the heaven of the Bible. Or they'd be living a whole lot different while they're yet here. Not living to get to heaven. Living because they're on their way to heaven. Honestly, city life just may not be for some folks. They're interested in the bright lights. Interested in the stuff that goes on in this world. But they're not interested in city life. Like waits for us over there. But I appreciate what Miss Selma said. We preached exactly what you said this morning. Preached it exactly. I told her this morning. I said, if they don't nobody want to go, I want to go. If they don't nobody else make it, I'm going. If mom and dad don't go, I'm going. If brothers and sisters don't go, I'm going. If you don't go, I'm going. Amen. That little woman down at the nursing home that stands up in that PVC wheelchair, she testifies sometimes she don't make a whole lot of sense. But sometimes she'll get up and she'll testify. About every time we're down there, she'll testify. And about four or five times we've been there, when she stands and testifies, this is what she'll say. She said, I want to go to heaven. She said, I don't care if I do nothing else. I want to go to heaven. I mean to go to heaven. She said, if everybody else don't go to heaven, I want to go to heaven. And I'm going to go to heaven one of these days. Whatever it takes, I want to go to heaven. And I want to just say amen to it. I want to make sure while I'm here. Now listen, if you wait till you stand before the Lord to try to prepare for city life, you'll never make it in. Heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people, and your preparations better be made while you're yet here. Because if you leave this life unprepared, there's no more chances to get it ready and get it right after you leave. I like that 1:16, I'm getting ready to leave this world. Are you ready for Jesus to come? We sing when we all get to heaven, but everybody ain't a-going. But I sure do want to be in the number, don't you? I tell you what we are to do. We are to sing the Eastern Gate. And ask that question to yourself. Can you honestly sing, I will meet you in the morning? just beside the eastern gate. Are you prepared for city life? Come on round, sing that for us. I think it's what, 313, 213, 312, 313? Something like that, 314 maybe? 312. Amen. Eastern gate, 312. Stand with us. If you're not prepared for that city, then I'd be a good time to get it ready and get it right. It'd be a good time to make preparations. Let's sing. Sang the song for the offering at Pine Ridge Church every Sunday. It's the only one he'd lead, but Daddy always had called on and had him come sing the song, lead the song for the offering. He didn't know but about three songs. It was always either I'll meet you in the morning on page 14, 286, the Glory Land Way, and he never could remember how to say the words in my second verse. Or on Father's Day, he'd sing Father Along, and he thought it meant Father, as in the Father, and I said a Father. And he'd sing Father Along on Father's Day, and then he sang this song here probably about every other week. How beautiful heaven must be. He's already gone on to glory now after 100 or so years in this world. And now he's seeing what he missed out on for an awful long time while he's living here. Amen. How beautiful heaven must be. Let's sing some a verse or two of this.
that I'm prepared.
Yes, sir. I'm going that way, brother. Yes, sir.
The old account was settled long ago.
Long ago.
Amen. You may not be able to tell, so I get along a lot of times when I can't get nothing to preach on. Just can't seem to get nowhere. You know, you study and study and study. You got all kind of nice stuff that's in your mind, but you just can't put a thought together, you know. And I'll sit down and get the old hymnals and find the songs that don't sing very much, especially sometimes songs I ain't never sung. There ain't many of them left. And sit down and read those. And especially the ones that I don't know the music to, it helps me to read them, especially because I don't get caught up in whether or not it's a tune that I like, see. And just read those words and let that stuff sink in. Well, I'm glad I'd old account. I like that song. If you don't know that real good, you ought to become real good acquainted with it. The old account was settled long ago. Amen. All right. Be with us tomorrow night now at 7:30. The choir's going to be singing at Pine Ridge on Highway 61 there in between New Georgia and Dallas. Please go be a part of that. We need your help. Go sing with us and be a part of the meeting.
Amen.
I know it'll be a blessing to you. Appreciate you coming tonight. Fellowship one with another. You can be dismissed.
Amen.
Did we sing anything
to
6, 8, or 12,
8 songs? We don't normally sing. When you're here, we're going to get the goody at her. Because Tanya, she nearly throws a book at me every time I pull it.
I think everything is 6, 8, or 12, 8
songs. Those are the ones that I like.
They just sound spiritual.
They do.
Yeah, even that ranks stranger sounds pretty
good. Good travels this week.
I bet if you sang Go Rest High on That Mountain in 6, 8 times, it'd sound
I like it better.
That sounds good.